resiliency, the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. If I were to put all the players in the MLB into a fantasy draft and you told me to pick my squad, I'd need a group of resilient ball players. Players who would always battle back. Players who have a little fight in them. I'd want this quality to be most prevalent in my starting rotation, I think. Today, we're going to talk about a guy who is resilient. A guy who got knocked down due to injuries more than once, but always made it back. Today, we look at the career of Scott Kazmir.
Swung on and missed. Third strikeout for Scott Kazmir, and he retires the side in order for the first time tonight.
What's up, guys? You are now listening to the latest episode of the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast, the show where we shine the spotlight on those pretty good players from days gone by that we all loved watching. In the description for this episode, you will find a link to the Underdog newsletter. It's a sports newsletter that's free to subscribe to. It covers a bunch of great sports stories that I think you guys would really enjoy. Subscribing to them is free, and all you have to do is use your email, and it greatly helps out the show. So if you don't mind doing that for me, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, guys. Now, though, enough of the promotion. Let's sit back, relax, and reminisce on the pretty good career of Scott Kazmir. Scott Edward Kazmir was born on January 24th, 1984 in Houston, Texas. He grew up right there in Houston and attended Cypress Falls High School. Cypress Falls High School is a school founded in 1992, and they typically have an enrollment that's a little less than 3,000 students. Former MLB players such as Jamie Bubella and Clint Everts attended the school as well. Early in his athletic career, Kazmir played baseball as well as football until his junior year, where he decided that baseball would be his area of focus moving forward. If you were curious about how good Kazmir was at baseball in high school, just listen to this. At one point, Kazmir went on a stretch where he threw 5 no-hitters in a 6-game span. 4 of them were consecutive. As for the game where he didn't throw a no-hitter, it was just a pathetic, you know, one-hit complete game shutout, you know, nothing crazy. I bet the guy who got that one hit felt like the love child of Barry Bonds and Babe Ruth combined after that game. As a senior in high school, Kazmir actually struck out 172 batters, and it only took him 75 innings to do so. His ERA for the season was sub-1 at 0.37. That's right, 0.37. My goodness, could he throw a baseball. So obviously, after having a season like Kazmir had, several Major League College baseball programs were vying for him to come and play for them. He eventually settled on the University of Texas. But, like we see with so many players that we've covered, the dream of the MLB was just far too enticing. This was the truth for Scott Kazmir when the Mets took him with the 15th pick of the 2002 MLB draft. The top 5 players taken all the way back in that 02 draft were Brian Bullington, who was taken first overall by the Pirates, BJ Upton / Melvin Upton / Melvin Emmanuel Upton went second to the Rays, Christopher Gruhler went third to the Cincinnati Reds, Adam Loewen went fourth to the Orioles, and at fifth was actually Kazmir's high school teammate that we mentioned earlier, Clint Everts. Fun fact, Kazmir and Everts actually became the first pair of pitchers from the same high school to be drafted in the first round. And for anyone curious about Everts' story, unfortunately, he never made it to the MLB, but did pitch professionally all the way up until 2014. So major respect to him for sticking around for that long. Back to Kazmir, though. He would get his first taste of professional baseball with the Brooklyn Cyclones, a short-season single-A team within the Mets organization. He would start 5 games for them, and he was amazing. In 18 innings, he only gave up 1 run while striking out 34 batters. An insane performance for somebody just getting their feet wet in professional baseball. Kazmir would spend his 2003 season pitching for 2 different teams within the Mets organization, the St. Lucie Mets and the Capital City Bombers. He was exceptional all season long, going 5-6 in 25 starts with a 2.63 ERA. He threw 109 in a third innings, a big increase in workload from the 18 he threw in his shortened 2003 season. Heading into the 2004 baseball season, Baseball America had Scott Kazmir ranked as the number 12 prospect in all of baseball. Fans were eager to see what he'd bring to the table as a major league starter, and luckily for everyone involved, they wouldn't have to wait long, but there would be a couple twists and turns in Kazmir's story before he got to the show. Scott Kazmir began the season pitching for the St. Lucie Mets. He performed well there, throwing 50 innings of 3.60 ERA baseball. Then, though, on July 30th, 2004, in a move that really seems to be surprising at the time, the Mets actually trade Scott Kazmir to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. The key piece coming back to the Mets in exchange for Kazmir was pitcher Victor Zambrano. At the time of this trade, Mets fans and the media absolutely tore this deal apart. At the time, Scott Kazmir was a top prospect, absolutely lighting up the minor leagues, and Zambrano had a fairly big history of injuries and was in the middle of a pretty mediocre season, being honest. We're going to get into Scott Kazmir's Tampa Bay tenure here in just a second, but let's just say Mets fans had a right to be upset about this trade and how it turned out. The Devil Rays sent Scott Kazmir to AA after acquiring him, and he was sensational there, starting four games with an ERA of 1.44. He threw 25 innings and struck out 24 batters. At this point, everyone within the Rays organization had seen enough. In late August, Scott Kazmir was called up to the major leagues. On August 23, 2004, after a quick rise through the minor leagues that would see him skip AAA entirely, Scott Kazmir would make his major league debut. Kazmir would be making his debut against the 46 and 77 Seattle Mariners, who rolled out a lineup of Ichiro leading off in right field, Randy Winn batting second and playing in center field, Edgar Martinez in his final MLB season DH'd and hit third, batting cleanup was the left fielder Raul Ibanez, Brett Boone hit fifth and played second base, Bucky Jacobson hit sixth and played first base, Miguel Olivio, power hitting catcher, hit seventh and did the catching, Jose Lopez hit eighth and played shortstop, and Willie Bloomquist hit ninth and played third base. Providing Kazmir with some run support on this night was Carl Crawford leading off in center, the late and great Julio Lugo played shortstop and hit second, BJ Upton hit third and DH'd, Tino Martinez batted cleanup and played first base, Jose Cruz hit fifth and got the start in right field, Jorge Cantu batted sixth and manned the hot corner, Toby Hall hit seventh and did the catching, Jeff Blum hit eighth and played left field, and Ray Sanchez hit last and played second base. Kazmir had a great debut, going five innings allowing four hits and zero earned runs. He struck out four batters and walked three while throwing 101 pitches. He'd get plenty of run support as well, as the Rays would win the game 9-0. Kazmir was able to pitch wonderfully and get the win in his debut. His first strikeout was against outfielder Randy Winn. Here's the call from that strikeout.
And a wave and a miss. Winn is out on strikes. Pretty good pitch right there.
The rest of Kazmir's first go-around in the big leagues wouldn't be quite as successful as his debut. He had some control issues and wound up going 2-3 with a 5.67 ERA in 33 and a third innings. He walked 21, but a bit of a silver lining was that he also struck out 41 batters. In 2005, Kazmir would look to improve and put up some better numbers than he did in 2004. Kazmir started off his 2005 season with the Rays losing 7 of his first 8 starts. With starting pitching though, you have to remember to sometimes look a little deeper than the wins and losses, because obviously your team going 1-7 in your first 8 starts sounds rough, but he had an ERA of 4.60 and a FIP of 4.02, which isn't phenomenal, I understand, but still much improved from his 2004, and probably better than your team only winning one of your first 8 starts. Throughout the 2005 season, Kazmir would continue to massively improve and actually had a pretty good season overall. In 32 starts, Kazmir went 10-9 with an ERA of 3.77. He threw 186 innings. Control was still an issue for him though, as he did lead the league in walks and allowed 100 of them. Kazmir's season did garner some recognition come award season though, as he placed 9th in the AL Rookie of the Year voting that season. In 2006, Scott Kazmir was named the Tampa Bay Rays opening day starter at the young age of only 22. This made him the youngest pitcher to start on opening day since Dwight Gooden did it way back in 1986. 2006 would turn out to be a great year for Kazmir. He would actually make his first All-Star appearance this year. The Midsummer Classic took place at PNC Park in Pittsburgh this season, and Kazmir got into the game throwing a perfect 6th inning. He managed to retire Freddie Sanchez, Carlos Beltran, and Albert Pujols. In his next start after the All-Star game, Kazmir would achieve another milestone, throwing his first and only complete game shutout against the Boston Red Sox. Kazmir's numbers in 2006 were definitely pretty good. He went 10-8 with an ERA of 3.24 in 24 starts. He only walked 52 this season while striking out 163. So for the most part, he had his control issues, well, under control. As for 2007, Scott Kazmir would continue his trend of being a higher-tier starting pitcher. While he didn't make the All-Star team this season like he did in the years prior, he was still a pitcher you could depend on. He led the league in starts at 34 and also led the league in strikeouts with 239. Kazmir was actually the first pitcher in Tampa Bay history to total over 200 strikeouts in a season. He managed to go 13-9 with a 3.48 ERA, and he also threw 206 and two-thirds innings. This would actually be the first and only time that Kazmir would cross the 200 innings mark in his career. One thing I noticed from this season that I found to be interesting was that his ERA, like we discussed earlier, was 3.48. His FIP, fielding independent pitching, which is a stat that focuses only on what a pitcher has control over, such as walks, strikeouts, hit by pitches, and home runs, was almost exactly the same at 3.45. I thought that was interesting to read up on because you rarely see them be almost identical like that. Up to this point in his MLB career, his team, the Rays, had not been very successful. In 2007, they went 66-96 and finished last in the AL East. Looking forward to 2008, though, the team's luck would soon change. While the Rays saw some good fortune in 2008, the season started off a bit rough for Scott Kazmir. At the beginning of spring training, he wound up spraining his elbow. The injury evidently wasn't viewed to be super serious at the time, but the Rays were being overly cautious with their young star, and so he was sidelined until early May. Once Kazmir was finally able to get on an MLB mound in 2008, he started off hot right out the gates, going 5-1 with an ERA of only 1.22. This amazing month actually caused Scott Kazmir to be awarded the AL Pitcher of the Month award for May. He became the first ever Tampa Bay Ray to do so. During this same month, the Rays and Kazmir also agreed to a 3-year, $28.5 million contract extension that also included a club option for an additional year, which meant Kazmir was under team control until possibly after the 2012 season if the option was exercised. By the time the All-Star break came around, Scott Kazmir was sitting pretty with a 7-5 record and a 3.04 ERA with 91 strikeouts and 83 innings pitched. For the second time in his career, he was named to the All-Star team. For this All-Star game, the Rays didn't really want Kazmir to pitch in it because they were still being protective over his arm and his elbow, and I don't think the plan was for him to pitch at all in this game, but what happens in this All-Star game is that it actually goes 15 innings. So without many pitchers left for the team, Kazmir took the mound in the 15th and threw a scoreless inning. The AL then manages to score the winning run in the bottom of the 15th inning, making Scott Kazmir the winning pitcher in the 2008 All-Star Game. That had to be an awesome moment for him. For the second half of 2008, Kazmir wasn't quite as effective as he was in the first half, but he was still a pretty good pitcher, going 5-3 with a 4.02 ERA. His final numbers for the 2008 regular season saw him go 12-8 with a 3.49 ERA. Now, a few moments ago, we mentioned that things would soon be looking up for the Rays in 2008, and that was certainly the case. They went 97-65, an increase of 31 wins from the previous season. They made it all the way to the World Series before losing to the Philadelphia Phillies in 5 games. Kazmir would start 5 games during this playoff run and go 1-1 with an ERA of 4.21. He made 2 starts in the World Series as well. One came in Game 1 of the World Series, and the other came in Game 5. These starts saw him throw a combined 10 innings and give up 5 earned runs. The Rays unfortunately lost both of these starts. 2009 was a year of big changes for Kazmir that I'm not sure people saw coming. He started off the 2009 season on the DL once again due to elbow issues. He returned to the team on April 8th, but it didn't go too well at all. Upon his return, Kazmir went 4-4 with an ERA of 7.69. After all these struggles, he once again returned to the disabled list to work on his mechanics and help heal a leg strain that he had suffered. Upon his return from this injured list stint, he was a little bit better, but his overall numbers still looked rough. Through August 28th, Kazmir went 8-7 with an ERA of 5.92. These numbers were not at all what people had become accustomed to and what they began to expect from Scott Kazmir at this point in his career. It seemed as though the Rays had seen enough, as on August 28, 2009, they actually trade Scott Kazmir to the Angels in exchange for Sean Rodriguez, Alexander Torres, and Matt Sweeney. For the Rays' side of the deal, Sweeney and Torres never made the major leagues, but they did get 5 fairly productive seasons out of Sean Rodriguez. As for the Angels and Scott Kazmir, the change of scenery seemed to do the trick early on. He made 6 starts and went 2-2 with an ERA of only 1.73. It was admittedly a small sample size, but once that trade happened, he really seemed to turn his season around. His success with the Halos in 2009 sadly would not last forever. The Angels finished the season with a record of 97-65 and actually made the playoffs. Kazmir struggled in the postseason though, going 0-1 with an ERA of 7.59 and 10 2/3 innings. The Angels wound up losing the 2009 ALCS to the eventual world champion New York Yankees. This marked the end to a frustrating season for both the Angels as well as Scott Kazmir. For 2010, Kazmir tried to put in a lot of work on his body during the offseason in order to stay healthy and be productive. He put a big emphasis on strength and flexibility in an attempt to limit the strain he put on his arm during the lengthy MLB season. Now look, I know Kazmir definitely put in the work during the offseason and did all the right things to have a great year, but the truth is that it just wasn't the case for him. He'd struggled quite a bit, going 9-15 with an ERA of 5.94. That turned out to be the highest ERA in the MLB among pitchers who threw at least 140 innings. Kazmir's bid to stay healthy also didn't work out perfectly, as he made a couple of trips to the DL during the season due to hamstring and shoulder issues. The Angels struggled as a team, going only 80-82 and missing the playoffs. 2011 would be another tough year for Kazmir. He had a really bad spring training. He struggled to the point where he was placed on the DL and then sent to extended spring training to try and sort some things out. I can't imagine how much of a toll this had to be taking on Kazmir's mental health at the time. To be as high up on the mountain as he once was with the All-Star games and World Series appearances to where he was at 2011 truly had to be hard on him. Kazmir only had one MLB start during the 2011 season, and it didn't go well at all. He only threw an inning in 2/3 and gave up 5 runs. The Angels then demoted Kazmir to AAA, but things didn't improve there whatsoever either. Kazmir just couldn't right the ship this season. In 5 AAA starts, he had an ERA of 17.02 in only 15 innings. He walked 20 and struck out 15. His velocity had also dipped to the low 80s at this point. Once the middle of June came around, the Angels made the decision that they had seen enough, and even though he was still owed $15 million, they cut Kazmir, releasing him on June 15th. So at this point, Kazmir had a decision to make. While his career at this point wasn't necessarily lengthy, he was still wildly successful. He had made All-Star teams, pitched in a World Series, and had made millions of dollars. Most guys, that might even include myself too, would have just called it a career and given up. But do you remember when I talked about resiliency and how Kazmir was somebody who possessed that quality? Well, it was true, because Kazmir got right to work on a comeback attempt. Once December of 2011 came around, Kazmir looked to jumpstart his comeback by signing with a team in the Dominican League. He only made one start for the team though, and it just wasn't good. He went for only 1/3 of an inning and gave up 2 hits, 2 walks, and 4 earned runs. This turned out to be another challenge that, for the time being, threw a wrench in Kazmir's comeback plans. Kazmir did not sign with a major league organization during the 2012 season, but don't worry, he did not give up. Kazmir was far too resilient and stubborn to quit at this point. Instead of signing with a team, he met up with a pitching expert from Houston who goes by the name of Ron Wolford. Kazmir and Wolford put in the work, and they did everything in their abilities to try and get Kazmir's career back on track and get him back onto an MLB diamond. Now, so I did say that during the 2012 baseball season that Kazmir didn't sign with an MLB team, and that was true. He did, however, decide to play some independent ball and sign with the Sugar Land Skeeters. They play near his hometown of Houston, so it was a pretty favorable scenario for Kazmir. He pitched in 14 games for the team and didn't put up that great of numbers, going 3-6 with an ERA of 5.34. While the numbers weren't eye-popping, it's still so awesome to see that Kazmir wasn't giving up and that he was working on his mechanics and trying to make his way back to the show. In the fall of 2012, Kazmir signed with the Gigantes de Carolina of the Puerto Rican Professional Baseball League. During his stint there, something started happening to Kazmir. He was getting his velocity back. That's right, after previously throwing only in the mid to low 80s during his final days in the Angels organization, Kazmir was back to throwing the ball right around 95 miles per hour. I can't imagine how good that must have felt for him. It had to be frustrating to see his velocity diminish, but he worked so hard on his mechanics and taking care of his body that it was really nice to see that it was paying off for him. It paid off so much, in fact, that the MLB came knocking once again. the Cleveland Indians decided to take a chance on Kazmir, signing him to a minor league contract on December 21st, 2012. That had to be an awesome early Christmas present. So far for Kazmir, his resiliency was paying off. Kazmir performed very well for Cleveland during spring training, and because of this, he was named the team's fifth starter. Kazmir put in the work, and now he got another chance at the MLB. On May 4th, 2013, Scott Kazmir would pitch 6 innings and only give up 2 earned runs. The Indians won the game 7-3, and Kazmir got the W. For the first time since 2010, Kazmir had won an MLB game. While 2013 wasn't quite up to par with Kazmir's best seasons in Tampa Bay, he was still definitely pretty good. He pitched in 29 games and threw 158 innings, going 10-9 with an ERA of 4.09. Kazmir was healthy again and giving his team productive outings. He worked as hard as anyone, and it truly, like I said earlier, was paying off. Scott Kazmir's story was so inspiring that he was even named the 2013 AL Comeback Player of the Year. Kazmir's comeback wound up getting him paid. After showing the MLB he was healthy and could yet again be a productive MLB starter, he drew the interest of a few teams and signed a nice 2-year, $22 million deal with the Oakland Athletics on December 3rd, 2013. Kazmir's 2014 season with Oakland was pretty good. For the first half of the season, he was elite. He went 11-3 with an ERA of 2.38. His amazing performance actually got him named to his third and final All-Star team. For the first time since 2008, Kazmir was an MLB All-Star. The guy who dealt with numerous injuries, saw his velocity dip to the low 80s, got released, and battled his way back after pitching in independent and various other baseball leagues, was once again an MLB All-Star. What a story. Kazmir did struggle some in the second half of 2014, but he still had a good year overall. He went 15-9 with an ERA of 3.55 and 190 and a third innings. He was truly healthy and productive for a whole season. Consider the comeback attempt 100% complete. Kazmir opened the 2015 season as the A's third starter, and he was sensational, going 5-5 with an ERA of 2.38 in 18 starts. It was actually one of the most dominant stretches in his whole career. Due to the Oakland Athletics being out of contention by the time the trade deadline came around, Scott Kazmir was viewed as a hot commodity for pitching-hungry teams that were looking for an extra boost heading into October. The Astros eventually proved to be the team who wanted Kazmir the most, acquiring him on July 23rd in exchange for Jacob Nottingham and Daniel Megadyn. While with Houston, Kazmir wasn't as sharp as he previously was with the A's, but he wasn't terrible. He got 13 starts and went 2-6 with an ERA of 4.17. Houston wound up making the playoffs as a wildcard team in 2015, and Kazmir would get an opportunity to pitch in the playoffs once again. He started Game 2 of the ALDS, and he'd go on to pitch 5 1/3 innings, giving up 5 hits and 3 earned runs. So not a terrible start, but they did eventually lose the game with a score of 4-5. The Astros wound up eventually losing the ALDS, and it would be the end of Kazmir's time with the Astros as he was a free agent at the season's end. Upon hitting the open market and testing out free agency, Kazmir would get paid, signing a 3-year, $48 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sadly though, this deal wouldn't go well. Over the course of this contract with the Dodgers, Kazmir would only throw 26 starts in the length of 3 seasons, and all of them came only in 2016. He went 10-6 with an ERA of 4.56. Starting during this season, Kazmir would start to get hit with injuries again. He dealt with issues with his hips as well as other areas of his body. Despite his best efforts to come back, he'd never pitch for the Dodgers again after that 2016 season. After the 2017 season, the Dodgers traded Scott Kazmir along with Charlie Culberson, Adrian Gonzalez, and Brandon McCarthy in exchange for Matt Kemp and some cash. While trying to gear up the pitch for the Braves during the 2018 season, Kazmir's velocity once again began slipping, and right before the season got underway, the Atlanta Braves decided to release Scott Kazmir. Kazmir at this point had done almost all you could do in the big leagues, and he had done it well. He had a career that lasted longer than most, and he had even completed a truly inspiring comeback attempt. After the Braves released him, he continued to work out and kept throwing, but sadly, he said that physically it wasn't going so well. So then he paused his workouts. He didn't officially retire, but he also didn't seek out being signed by a ball club for the 2018 and 2019 seasons, and instead, he decided to focus on being a family man, which is something that we can all applaud Kazmir for. Once 2020 came around though, the always resilient Scott Kazmir once again expressed a desire to resume his pitching career, and so he got the ball rolling on a second comeback attempt. He wound up signing with the Eastern Reyes del Tigre, a team that played in the Constellation Energy League. I had never heard of the Constellation Energy League before this, so I did some digging, and it's actually pretty cool. They operated in Texas and were created as a way to give opportunities to minor league players during the COVID-19 pandemic. With this league operating out of Texas, where Kazmir is from, it served as a perfect first stop on the comeback attempt. After pitching in the Constellation Energy League during 2020, Kazmir got another shot with a big league team. On February 23, 2021, Scott Kazmir signed a minor league deal with the San Francisco Giants. He got the invite to spring training, and while initially not making the ball club, he was selected to the active roster on May 22nd. That's right, guys. Kazmir had done it again. He had successfully made it back to the major leagues. Honestly, I cannot imagine the work and absolute determination Scott Kazmir had. The passion he must have for baseball and desire to pitch is amazing. He fought with everything that he had yet again and climbed his way all the way back to the top of professional baseball. What a story. He would actually make his first start since returning to the MLB against his former team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Kazmir took the loss, but he didn't throw bad by any means. He pitched in 4 innings and gave up only 1 run on 2 hits. Now look, I will be honest. Kazmir's final run with the Giants didn't produce eye-popping numbers. In 3 appearances with the team, he had an ERA of 6.35 and was designated for assignment. He would get added back to the Giants roster on September 22nd, though, to make a start against the San Diego Padres. He threw 4 shutout innings, and the Giants eventually won the game 8-6. On September 30th, 2021, Scott Kazmir would pitch in the MLB for the final time, going a third of an inning in a start against the Diamondbacks, giving up 3 hits and 3 runs. Despite expressing some desire to pitch once again in 2022, he wouldn't throw again in the MLB. With that being said, though, it's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. From 2017 to 2020, he didn't throw a single pitch in the MLB, so to even make it back was just simply remarkable. With the 2021 season closing the book on Scott Kazmir's MLB career, his final stats saw him go 108-97 with an ERA of 4.02. He threw 1,701 in the third innings and recorded 1,618 strikeouts. He finished 9th in American League Rookie of the Year voting in 2005 and made 3 All-Star appearances. He had a career baseball reference WAR of 22.4 and an estimated career earnings of $98,997,000. In my opinion, Kazmir was definitely the definition of resiliency. He had been knocked down, been injured, been released, saw his velocity diminished, and pitched in leagues that baseball fans like me have never even heard of. No matter what transpired during his baseball journey, though, he always came back and found his way on a big league mound. That determination and dedication alone makes Scott Kazmir worthy of recognition. I find it hard to even wrap my head around having the mental toughness to fight and claw my way back to something that was so hard to achieve. I think for Kazmir, though, baseball was worth it. He put all he had into the game, and he achieved a career far more successful than most. Scott Kazmir was pretty good. Well, guys, there you have it. That was the amazing and inspiring career of Scott Kazmir. Truly an awesome story. I cannot believe he was able to come back that many times and do it successfully. Hats off to Scott Kazmir for his amazing career. He's without a doubt a worthy induction to this podcast, Hall of Pretty Good. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed listening. If you're new here and you wouldn't mind following the show or leaving a 5-star review, that would be awesome. I usually put out new episodes twice a week, so that's something to look forward to. We cover plenty of players. We have former MLB player interviews. We cover great moments, great games, great individual seasons. There's something for every baseball fan here, guys. So I really hope you enjoy the old episodes and keep looking out for new ones as well. It's always a great day to talk baseball, and I love that you guys give me a chance to do it and that you guys listen, because this is probably my favorite thing to do in the whole world. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget, click on that link in the description for the Underdog newsletter. Put in your email, subscribe. It's free. It really helps the show out. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And once again, hats off to Scott Kazmir. Mr. Kazmir, if you're ever listening, you will always have a fan in me and be a friend of the show. You were great. You had a great career. Amazing comeback attempt. And I loved watching you pitch grow up. You are a big reason that I am a big baseball fan today. Guys, this has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you so much for listening. Bye, guys.
Scott's numbers on the year, that win coming in his last start. That's his first major league win since September 19th, 2010.
Mm-hmm. Swing and a miss. Cespedes strikes out. Throw to first. They almost nabbed him. Swung out and miss. He strikes him out. A lot of different faces in that lineup today is Bob Melvin. Wonder how this guy got past Coach Krzyzewski, Coach K down there at Duke at 6'7".
So a 9-5 career record.
Whew. Scott Kazmir has whiffed five Oakland hitters already here today.
Also, you know, everybody's picked Detroit.
Cespedes, a swing and a miss. Now the lefty's 3-1. High pop. Cabrera flips the sunglasses down. Brantley's in. Michael says, I've got it. Moss went too far, and there is another strikeout. Got him. Hey. Swung out and missed. He struck him out indeed for the third time today. He threw it right by him. Scott Kazmir, 10 strikeouts here this afternoon. He's given up just one measly old run.